Kirsty Neat talking to Mrs. Walton on Tuesday, the 28th of March, 2000. Right, so it's working. It all sounds really funny when you say 2000.
I still have to keep reminding myself.
I know, it's weird. So you were born at the Russian Abbey Hotel.
Yes, we were.
And what year was that?
1910, I'm afraid. Simple arithmetic to tell you that'll be 90 next year.
Wow.
But my parents had Glen Helen. Do you know Glen Helen? Mm-hmm. Now, they had that business. And they moved from Glen Helen in the spring to Russian Abbey. And my sister and I, twins, were born in September. So it must have been pretty hard for mother going there. Yeah.
So what was your parents' name? What was
the, oh, Simcox.
They were the Simcox. Yes. So what was your father's name?
Alfred Montague.
Right. So he was the famous Monty Simcox.
That's right. Have you heard his name?
I've heard his name mentioned because I've spoken to a couple of people about Russian Abbey. And Bertie, was that?
Bertie, he was my youngest brother.
He was your youngest brother.
He was not the last to die, but he has died about 5 years ago.
Right,
and
right.
Then there was another brother, Hart, who was blinded in the war, and he was quite well known, you know.
Yeah, because somebody said to me that Monty and Bertie ran the site like clockwork, and it was all very, very ordered and managed well.
Well, we were all in it at first until my sister and I got married and went away, and then there was just Bertie. Hart was a lawyer, so he was working in town.
Right.
So it was my father and Bertie, really, who had it always.
So your parents ran what we know as the Russian Abbey Hotel.
That's right.
And they had guests coming.
Well, we didn't have very many guests, but we did have some guests. There's a picture here I'll show you of the Abbey Hotel. As it was.
Yeah.
Now it's quite
it's quite different, isn't it?
Here it is.
Yeah. I've got some photos. Similar pictures.
Yes, that's right. We slept up there. And that there's a room there with, you can see it here, with the French windows. That was what we called our nursery. We had to do our homework up there and everything. But there was a veranda here,
mm-hmm.
and another little veranda here. We were scrambling around here.
On top of the roofs.
The roof went back that way, and we used to be scrambling over those roofs at night. Of course, parents didn't know. But I can remember when we moved, we had a nursery at the back at one time, and when we were moved into this room, I thought, why have they let us come here? They don't know how we like. But we were getting older then, I suppose. They thought we had plenty of sense.
Absolutely.
But anyway, we're still alive.
You're still alive.
I'm
you survived
still alive,
it.
Yeah.
So your parents ran the hotel. So would they, if they didn't have many guests, did they do food and things like
oh,
that?
Oh, yes.
Inside the hotel?
Oh, yes. We were very busy in the early 20s. We were too young to help or anything. Then we were at school anyway. But I can remember 1920, 22. Very busy.
Right. So did your mother do a
she
lot of
she looked
the
after
food?
The restaurant, and we didn't have meals that had to be cooked. It was all cold meat and salads and those sort of things.
Right.
But we were very busy, I remember that. And we used to want to help when we came home from school, but we were chased away, we were in a way more.
And when was the sort of most popular time for visitors to be at the Abbey? What sort of time of
yes,
year?
Well, all the coaches used to go around the island at that time. They'd all come at the same time, you know, 1, 2, 3. We'd be doing nothing till about 4:30 in the afternoon, they used to arrive at Russian Abbey, as long as I can remember that. But I think it did change eventually when people got their own cars and things. But the time when I worked there with the family, it was 4:30 in the afternoon, and it only went on for about an hour at the most.
Yeah, and then they'd be whisked away.
Yeah. Whisked away all the way. And then in the evening, a lot of locals used to come. There was a dance floor.
I've got some pictures somewhere.
Yes.
I'll get those out in a minute. I've got them here ready to show you.
Locals came in the evening. And the coaches started coming about 7 again.
Right.
And we used to be packed.
Was it all year round? What months of the year?
Starting at Whitsuntide, which would be about early June or late May, and going on till the end of September in my time. But latterly, when I came back from Canada and used to go down and see what was going on, you know, they used to close about mid-September. I don't know why. I think they didn't stay open when it was quiet. Mm. But when my parents' time, we stayed on you know, right, because there were people, local people coming.
Were interested,
and,
yeah.
And of course my sister and I danced a lot, where the boys would be waiting till we were off duty at 9:30, and then we'd dance for the last half hour.
Excellent, brilliant.
We had a good time there, really.
I bet. So what was there to see? So there was the Abbey Hotel where you could eat.
Yes.
But what happened when you went past the Abbey Hotel? What could you see?
Well, now at the back there was a road going round just out to meet the main road from Port Erin. And out here you go straight into the gardens.
Right, I've got an aerial picture of the site now. So the Abbey Hotel is just here. It's just off the edge the picture. So you'd come in through, was it turnstiles there? Did you have
turnstiles? Yes, it was a turnstile.
And did people pay?
Oh, yes.
How much was it, say, in the 20s?
It was fourpence when I remember it, but I don't know what it was.
Was that sort of 1920s, 1930s?
No, more like 30s. We left school when we were about 18, about 28, so I remember mostly after 1928.
After 1928. So you paid fourpence to go through the turnstile.
To come in, except on dance competition night, when you paid sixpence. Big sum. Where we came in, the hotel's just here.
Yeah, the hotel's
just
there.
Well, then we walked in, we came in here, and...
That's the river there, so I know, if we cover up... We cover up that bit there.
That's a river.
That's the river.
Oh, yes. Well, now, they came in. These trees weren't quite the same as that, and there was a building that would be round here, where the office, there was an office came along here, I worked in there, and up here was the jam, where they packed the jam and covered it and everything, jam. And then out over here, there was the building where they made the jam. And I think that is what they call the... So that.
Oh, the Academy nightclub.
I think that was. You walked straight in. Here's the hotel, and the drive came here. You came straight through past the office up there, and that was a big area
factory.
I've
got a copy of a postcard there of inside.
Oh yes,
that's inside.
I don't remember it in those.
No, times. That's a bit older, isn't it?
Yes. But that's Victorian times, and we didn't have piles like that. But we were very busy during the war with jam. We supplied the island. Of course, the island was full of internees.
Yes.
Yes. And there were camps all over the place, all wanting jam. And I was the only one there. Bertie was at the war. My father was sick most of the war, and I had a hectic war, I can tell you. But, here's this nice one.
That's a lovely picture.
That's
That's the main tower,
We used to play there. My husband got up once when he was a boy, got inside, climbed right up and walked round the top. Now, I didn't see him, but he told me he did.
Yeah, because there's some metal rungs inside.
There's all kinds of... Yes, they used to climb up there to put the flag up.
Oh, right.
They were done for that, and I suppose Eric got up that way and climbed on the top and walked round, so he said... But I don't think he'd have said he hadn't, really.
I'm sure he had.
There would be no point in telling me that.
So when you came through the gates, were there peacocks as well? Did you have peacocks?
Oh, yes, the peacocks were over here. There was an area, and we had a beautiful white one once, and we had several of the ordinary peacock colours. You know. Mm-hmm. I used to feed them on Sunday morning when the men didn't always sort of that, but the place was closed on Sunday morning, except in the... Yes, it was always closed on Sunday morning. It didn't open till the afternoon on Sunday, and I used to feed the peacocks that day.
And then would you come across... So the peacocks would be sort of around here, because
there's
the main
Where's
tower.
The crypt now?
The crypt is just... Oh, it's hard to see on here. It's sort of there, look. Yes. It's all covered up.
Well, that was a great playing place for us. We used to climb up to the top, and it was flat on top, you know, with a lot of growth, vegetation. We used to do our homework up there. We didn't do much homework, but we used to be up there.
Used to sit up.
Take our learning homework with us. Now, what would be...
And then, so you, there were all the ruins and things for people to walk around.
Now it is a play area, or was.
Yeah.
But it was a bowling green. And it was very nice, actually. There was a big high wall here. This is a
vinery.
That's
the vinery.
Yes,
that's
and the vinery was the other side of that wall, and that square was the bowling green. My father used to play, and the men from the village used to play.
Oh,
we used to sit around the edge if we had nothing else to do and watch. Yes.
Were there tennis courts as well?
They were across the river. Now, where did you say the river was?
The river's round about
that's
here.
The there was a big area there now where my youngest brother has built his house there. And the Abbey house, where we lived after we moved into the Abbey, was... The river's here, mm-hmm. was right there. That's the house.
Yes,
that's right. But they tell me it's empty now.
I think there's somebody in it. I'm not sure. I can't quite work out.
There's, I never get down there.
People
now.
There, but I'm not sure if they...
Oh, maybe they do live there. No. But they're nothing to do with the Abbey.
No.
That's finished with. We moved from there to there in 1927.
Why did you move? Why did you move out of the hotel?
Well, my father had always been a director of the Ellison Abbey and Gardens Limited, it was called in those days, and it wasn't doing very well, and at the annual general meeting it was discussed and suggested that my father and mother should take it over and run it. Now, we had just left school, so they had two girls, you see, so we were taken in with them and we helped out in the... I was in the office most of the time, and Molly...
There you go. It's all right, I'll pause. That's a lovely picture of a charabelle,
isn't
it? I got it from a gentleman in Peel, and these are his parents. And this was about 1927, and they were on their honeymoon.
Oh, really?
And he gave me loads of photographs.
Do you remember his name?
It was Mr. Swain. His parents were called Brian and Queenie Swain, and they were on their honeymoon here.
Yes,
and then they moved to the Isle of Man sort of later on.
They
weren't living here, but
they were on holiday.
They were on holiday and they went to Rush
Abbey.
That's the vinery that you were talking about.
I used to help. I didn't cut the grapes or thin the grapes, but I used to help in the fall. We had to sort of look in at all the vines and make sure there were no bugs in them and dig them out if they were. It was a sin to pull that down.
It's lovely,
who
isn't it?
Pull that down. I wonder. I don't think it was a museum. I'm sure it wasn't.
I don't know when it went.
Those vapes were all different kinds. Some green, some black. They were set and used by the monks. So it was a real sin. I went there one day for something, and I walked round the garden, and I going about, and it wasn't there. I was absolutely horrified. This is, perhaps 15 years ago, 10 years ago anyway.
Right. So what were the grapes used for?
They were sold. They grew there, and there were two gardeners who looked after this. There were a woman gardener and a man.
What were their names? Can you remember their names?
Clegg was the man. Edwin Clegg was. He was the head gardener of the whole lot, really. And then there was Mrs. Watterson. And I used to work with her in the spring, picking out little plants and things to be planted in the paths and things in the garden. And then I used to help her in the winter. It was really cutting, sort of looking after the. The vines, because there were no grapes there, but people used to come and see them, and they'd all want them. We were very busy with them. They'd cut a bunch. And
so you sold the grapes?
We sold them, oh yes, and we'd have a couple of bunches on the... There was a table, like a stall, as I came in through to the... to this nightclub place, but it was the jam-making place
right.
then. And so the vinery...
The vinery was there.
That's the vinery. Now, these are the gardens.
Those were the gardens.
And in my day, the cafe was along... the cafe was back a bit, and then there was the dance floor was along here.
Yeah.
It went...
That's a bit of the dance floor there, because this photograph is from the 70s, this particular picture. So that's the dance floor that we've...
Yes, that was when I'd just come back and I'd seen it. And it was a big, long place. It was very nice, you know, and it was always a good orchestra.
Brilliant.
Jazz orchestra for nights, of course.
What grew in the gardens? Just flowers?
There were paths all along with beds of flowers at each side. They made a big thing of this. They were really lovely. And then along the path behind the flowers were apple trees. And then in the centre there were strawberries, and one would have lettuce, one of, they called them brakes, I think that was a Manx name, but we would call them big beds or fields. And I think we grew, usually, the lettuce and stuff like that were grown here, and then the other ones were just strawberries.
Right. Yeah. Were there any other strawberry gardens? Or was not just mainly around here?
Not around here. At the other end of the village there was a big field called the Jib, which was
the jib,
shape of a jib sail, I think. Right. It was always known as a jib. That was a strawberry field.
I've got some pictures here of, again, these are the 20s, so just about your...
I was around then, but I wasn't. We didn't start working till.
That's in the strawberry gardens. It said on the back of the picture in the album. It said, "Ushan Abbey Strawberry Gardens." So I just thought.
Jean, George, and Lily.
Wonderful, aren't they?
Jean, George, and Lily.
I think they were visitors as well.
Probably. No, they look as if they're standing in a.
They're standing right in the bed, aren't they?
In the middle of the bed. Yeah.
George looks very happy, doesn't he?
<It should be.
laughs> So you grew the strawberries that grew there, were they the ones that were served at the tea room?
And as you went in here, it led down to the valley, there was a big long table, and we used to have the strawberries set out there and big bowls of cream, and as I came in they would buy them and take them to the tables. There were tables all over the place in the gardens. Not in the actual gardens where things were grown, but there was an area back somewhere along the dance floor.
There's a photograph, that's quite an old photograph, but that's the vinery there.
That's the vinery. Now, the dance floor, that person's picking flowers. The strawberries weren't there, they were only flowers. But here's the dance floor along here, mm-hmm. and there were those tables, but the area right across to the jam-making place was... you can see there were tables and deck chairs. There were dozens of deck chairs. And they had to be put out and brought in every morning and every night.
That's lovely, that picture, isn't it?
It is lovely, yes. And it was lovely because all around here there were pink Dorothy Perkins roses climbing all over the place. And there was I think it's here, there was a big bed of flowers. It was really something
very
special.
Yeah.
So the people who bought it from my family, the Ushan Abbey and Gardens Limited, it was called, they didn't anything for it.
It wasn't the same.
No idea, and it just went right down.
Yeah. Away. So your father really, he was the one who kept it all running.
Who got it going when it was down in about 1927 and up to about... when it was changed around.
So was it his idea to have a dance floor, or was that already there? Can you remember it being there when you were a young child?
I don't think so, because they used to dance in the bowling green and round about there, on the grass at one time. But then I think that place was made after my father and we came into it. I don't remember dancing any other place except on this big, long dancing floor. And I sure would have been dancing there.
I read somewhere that it wasn't built until the 20s, so, it wouldn't have been built until...
Well, now, it was about 27 when we came in, and they were just starting on that, but it didn't go well. Mr. Cubbon, who was looking after it then, he had a son who died recently. He was in that nursing home over there.
Oh, has he died?
I'm so sorry. He came here... He found out I was here. We were friends, of course, when we were kids. Yeah. We lived next door and we danced together a lot. And he phoned me and said he was there, and he sounded awfully miserable. He was an old man, of course, older than I, a few years. And I said, well, look, Arthur, I'll come and see you at the nursing at the Southlands. And he said, oh, no, I'd like to come and see you, get out of this place. He hated it, and it is a very nice place. It's just that he was old and everything was hard for him.
He just wanted to get away.
But he could walk from there to here, and he used to come every Tuesday morning. He'd walk in the door talking. He didn't wait for me to open. I was in the kitchen, and he'd call anyone at home, and I would say, come in, Arthur, but he was in by then. And he would sit there, he would be talking constantly, and he would go out talking. And I think he would like to have come on Sunday too, but I had other things to do, and yeah. I thought once a week was as much as I could cope with.
Yeah.
We had been good friends as children and young people.
Yeah. So where did his father live?
His father lived in the Abbey house. Here, where we moved to. They had to move out, and it was a bit hard for everybody.
Mm.
And they went and lived somewhere in Castletown, I think, and we moved out from and lived in there. We, of course, thought it was wonderful. We loved it, because if we hadn't, this is what my sister and I thought, we probably would have had to help in the business in the Abbey Hotel. But we were saved from that.
Mm.
You see, we came here and we lived here away from the hotel. And not that there was anything wrong with the hotel, but we...
I suppose you've got more freedom on the site, didn't you?
A much more pleasant job, yes.
Absolutely.
Everything.
Can you remember any of the names of the orchestras? Were they local orchestras,
no,
or were they people coming over?
I think everybody knew the orchestra then, of course. We waited when they were to come in May to see. Well, we weren't allowed to hobnob with them too much, but we did a bit. But I remember by name a man called Harry. He came year after year after year.
Somebody else has mentioned a chap called
Big
Harry.
Big Harry, we call him. He was an enormous man. He played the piano. And I think that was all he played, but there were saxophones.
You don't recognise... Well, this would be really amazing if you did.
There was I remember that she played the piano. She was her orchestra, Miss Hodge. Can't remember the men, strangely. Can't remember any of those men. Are there any other?
What about this chap here?
He's got a violin there too, hasn't he? I can't remember him.
These are about 1927, 1928.
Just when we first ran in, I suppose, a bit early, the late one. I don't know who that was. There was a man. What was his name?
John Duncan, his name
Duncan.
Is. John Duncan.
Doesn't mean anything.
No. Unfortunately, they haven't got their names on them. But he is named.
Yeah, he'd be the first year or two, I
perhaps,
suppose.
Perhaps, yeah, and one of the first ones. What about this chap here? This Campardelli.
Oh, yes, Campardelli.
Who was he
him.
Then?
Bobby Campardelli. He was... Now, before we moved in, the year before we moved in, this was about 26, I suppose, I can remember him well. He was an Italian, and he had a wife who used to come over with twin children, and they lived, they stayed in a house just along the, up the river, north of the Abbey.
Was it the house he's standing in front of, do you think?
No,
no?
I don't think so, because we moved into that cottage later. It was burnt down, and the Abbey owned it, and my husband and I, he'd just come back from the war. And we couldn't find anywhere to live. We were still living with my parents. And the Abbey, and they wanted me in the office. They didn't want to lose me, you see. And so they built up the cottage. It was still a cottage, but it was very nice inside. But the orchestra, the whole lot of them used to sing there. There was an old woman called Mrs. Burns. I remember this well. Where they slept, heaven alone knows, and where she slept, because there was only one. There was two bedrooms, probably, and there were five in the band, and there was Mrs. Burns and one or two sons. I suppose they just slept down in the living room or something.
And she looked after
but
them.
He was a good... He played the saxophone and violin, I think. I remember. My brother, who was older than I, he was always very, very friendly with the band, and he had a car at this time, and he used to take... As soon as it was finished at night, they all tumbled into Billy's, my brother's car. Where they went, I don't know, but they went out, and he was always in. And they used to let him play the drums sometimes, when there was nobody much about, because he was keen. He was very musically very keen.
So how long would they play for? When would they start playing?
Start at 7:30 in the evening and play till 9:30. It was only a couple of hours,
and that was every day.
Because by that, every day. Yes, I think they had the afternoon off on Saturday. They didn't play Saturday night, I don't think, or Sunday morning. But on Sunday they had lovely concerts, and when we hired the orchestra, they had to be able to play dance music and classical, and they used to play this, and it was a lovely thing on a Sunday evening they used to play. And my sister and I, of course, were always requesting this, that and the other. And
can you remember any songs in particular that you liked dancing to? It's a difficult question, but is there anything that sticks in your memory?
I remember there was one at the end of the last year that I used to like. What was it called? I can't remember what it was called. It was an ordinary foxtrot type.
My memory's gone. Don't worry, I know it's hard to remember back.
But, there were lots of boys, village boys and our friends and people. We were always ready to dance.
So how would it work then? Would the girls all sit on one side and the boys all sit on another?
No, the boys would be out all over the place.
That's the dance floor around there.
Yeah, well, now this house where the Cubbins lived, there were two sons there, Arthur, the one I told you about, and then there was an older boy, and they were very keen dancers, and so were my sister and I. And they used to wait until 9:30, about 9, the last few dances, because we weren't free until, we used to go up to mother and father and say, will you watch while we have a dance? And they would let us, usually. We used to dance with Ross and Arthur Cubbin, and then there were other boys, who were around. We knew and the village boys, some of them. There were people here in Port Erin not very long ago. I met one, a family, and the young man said, "Well, you and your sister taught me to dance. Do you remember?" I didn't remember, but
So would they come and ask you to dance?
They'd be in the garden where those tables were. Mm-hmm. And you said it was a lovely picture.
Yes.
And sitting around, and there were seats all round the dance floor. Mm-hmm. We'd never sit together. We were supposed to be in looking after the cafe at cash, you see, but it would be quiet late in the evening. And we would get off and dance. We danced a lot.
What sort of dances? You mentioned the foxtrot. You do foxtrot. What else would you do?
And waltzes. And later on, there were all kinds of funny things. They used to... I can't think of the names, but they're just the ordinary ballroom dancing, really.
Mm.
And as I say, we danced whenever we could. And we danced together a lot when there was nothing doing. Say, a wet night, there was nothing doing, but the orchestra were there. And if they played, Molly and I would dance together.
Wonderful.
But I remember Bobby, they were all after him, but his wife used to come.
She used to come to keep an eye, did she?
Keep an eye. I don't think she could do very much about it. She lived in England. And she had these twin children, I forget their names. They were little ones in a pushchair.
So the same player musicians would come year after year?
Well, latterly we had this Harry, Big Harry, as we called him. He's dead now, I know. I remember he was a great friend of Billy's. Billy was my older brother. And he came for many years, not always with the same people, but he was the leader of
the
band.
He was a leader.
Yes.
He was a leader, yes.
And I remember when they were packing up and going away, he was talking about where he was going to. He was going on to another job in England, you see, when they finished here, if they could get one. And I can remember distinctly being up at the house with the family and the wife and the kids and all the rest of the people. How we all got in that little cottage, I'll never know. But there were always a lot of us there on these occasions. And he was... caught his finger in the pram. The wife and kids were there, you see. And he said, he was so upset. He said, "They'll think I can't play, and that's why I'm kidding, pretending I've hurt my hand." I can remember that. It was a great tragedy with him. And we must have been just a nuisance, we kids around there. I can't think how they put up with it. It must have been when we were quite young,
Yes.
When we were older, we wouldn't have done that, I'm sure. I hope we wouldn't, anyway.
That's a nice picture of some couple on the dance floor.
Yes. Who's that?
That's George and May. I don't know whether they were with the band, because these pictures all came from the same album with the Campidelli picture.
Oh, yes, that's a good picture of Bobby Campidelli. Yes, and the girls were all after him all the time.
I bet they were.
Regardless of the why. I don't know George and Mary, I'm afraid. I can't recognise them.
George Thompson or George Waddington?
Waddington, is it?
It just says Waddington here.
Oh.
Diddy Waddington, Bill Walker, Bunty Walsh, Hilda Jubb.
think they were sort of visitors.
They must be visitors. There's a whole group of them there on the putting green. They could be friends of the orchestra, couldn't they?
Yes,
they might have come over for a holiday or something.
Yeah, I think they'd be holiday people, really. I don't know any of them.
Sorry.
I can't recollect now.
Is that a big dance floor? Is this where...
No, there were big tables around.
Big round tables.
Yeah, just one or two. Mostly there were those tree sections. Yeah. But you see, the dance floor came here, then it turned, it went at an angle of 45 degrees, perhaps, that way. I suppose it was the best way to build it or something. And the cafe was behind the dance floor, undercover, and there was a service room down here. And we used to help take the cash and check that the people were being served.
So what sort of things did the cafe sell?
Well, nothing very much that you had to prepare. I can remember the menus were plain teas, which was tea and bread and butter, and a sort of griddle cake. It's like a scone. It's a Manx scone. And that was a shilling, I think, and I remember it. And then they put jam on and fruit cake as well. That was one and something, I can't remember. That was called a sweet tea. And then they had ham and salads, and they were 1/6 or 2 bob or something. I'm not sure exactly. Actually, they'd have gone up from my time, because I was in Canada for the last few years. I wasn't around. But just those light teas that they made, they just made there. They had a service place with counters and that. And my mother used to look after that. And she had other women in with her doing it.
Do you remember a lady called Mrs. Mizzen?
Oh, yes.
Because I've met her son, who still lives at Ballasalla.
Yes, now what's his name? Woolly, isn't it?
Oh, Billy. What's his name? Oh,
Billy.
I always call him Mr. Mizzen. So
Billy Mizzen.
I don't know. It could be Billy.
Yes. And I remember him. He had a twin. But the twin was a little fellow and he was a big fellow.
Oh, this chap I've been talking to is a little fellow.
Oh, no, so it would be the twin.
It will be the twin.
Oh, you couldn't mistake Willie for a little one.
Oh, this guy is really small.
Well, I don't know him as well as the other one.
That's some of the tea ladies that he's saying is his mum.
Yes, that's Mrs. Mizzen. I don't know these two. They were in there. She was in the service with Mother, helping, you know, helping to dish out the food. That woman's face is familiar, but I can't think who she is.
I might know. I might have the name. I've got the names of them all written on the backs.
Oh, Mrs. Bannon, yes.
Mrs. Bannon.
Mrs. Mizzen.
Ran the cafe with Mrs. Simcox.
Mother's not there, though.
No, she's not. I don't think I've got a picture of your mother anywhere, unfortunately.
No, she isn't there. She's like me. She would disappear when anyone came around with the camera. But she didn't wear a uniform anyway. She was sort of in charge of the lot.
And that's a nice picture of the entrance. Do you remember those people?
Oh, I remember that man, R.C. Davies. Now, that's the entrance, and the hotel is just here, right, almost touching.
Can you remember, so this is where somebody would sit in a kiosk, would they, and take the fourpence?
They'd sit in the kiosk here. You can see the wheels or something, where the thing, here, they went in one of those round things.
Turnstile,
that's right. And then that would be open. I know that man's face. He was the gardener.
That's right. It might be on the back. Again, Mr. Mizzen was very good. Mr. Yeah. Ozzie Davies?
Ozzie Davies. That's Ozzie Davies. I remember him all my life.
Okay. Bob Corlett?
Bob Corlett and daughter.
And
that's
his daughter.
Right. He was the head gardener, but he was fairly late. He was latterly the head gardener. Mm. Latterly to me, but he'd probably been there a good long time. Mm. I remember the little girl, she used to come and try and make friends with my little girl. Jenny was I think she's older than my little girl. It was when Jenny was a baby, and she used to want to push her out and everything. She was a nice little girl. And the father was nice, and he had a nice wife too.
So that's a complete estimate, but how many people do you think were employed at Rushen Abbey in the summer season, including, you know, all the gardeners and...
There were three in the office. There was always a man, and I used to be there, and my sister. But she wasn't in the office much. I used to get stuck in the office. She was checking stores and ordering things. She was a bit more bustly about than I was, you know. But Now that would be three. And then there were two or three jam makers, that's five. There was a beans man, six, the carter, seven. And there's a head gardener. There were about three other gardeners. And then there were a whole lot of girls.
All the tea ladies and the girls.
All
the tea ladies.
Yes. There'd be 20 or more.
20 or 30.
Oh, yeah, 20 or 30, yes. Right. Because some of them came part-time. Most of them were full-time. A few came part-time. There'd be between 20 and 30, easily.
Right.
I used to have to make out the wages, I remember that. We didn't have a... In my town, we didn't have a thing that you would work... what do you call
it?
Like
a calculator.
Yeah. We didn't have those in my time. And you used to have to... How many hours they worked overtime, how many on Sunday, all different times.
Quite difficult. What about these horrible lads here? Do you recognise any of their faces?
Are their names at the back?
There are names on the back, yeah.
They're
1950, so it's a bit late.
1950. Well, I was in Canada then.
Harley Madrill.
Oh, Mr. Mizzen.
Yeah, this is Mr. Mizzen here.
Oh, that's the little fella.
That's the one that I've been speaking
to. He was rather, not exactly backward, but he was tiny, and his brother was a huge big man. Very, very talkative. If you got talking to him, you can't get away from him now. if I met him now and he saw me, he would be on to talk about the Abbey.
Yes.
I don't know the other people.
I suppose that's a bit later, isn't it?
Yes.
Charlie Quirk.
Norman Garrett, I don't know.
Brian Kinnish. Ray Shooter. Richie Corkill.
Richard Corkill. Now, Richard Corkill is the Chancellor of the Isle of Man now.
Oh, is that and the one?
Well, wait a minute.
Let's just see.
He's got a very nice...
Left and right, so...
It'll be that one
there.
Yes. I knew his father well, I don't remember him as a boy, but I know his voice the minute he speaks. He speaks very well, and he seems to have done well and be an educated man. And he's got the job of the chanter, so he must be. That's him. His parents used to have the post office in Ballasalla.
Oh, right.
And... and he was the son of their youngest child, this Richard was. Anyway, but that's a bit interesting, isn't it?
It is, gosh.
He might not be delighted to be told that he was working at Mission Abbey.
I love that picture there, all yes, smoking.
Well, look at that. This fellow looks very nice looking. The mizzen, you know, he looks at, that's him. He looks better than that. I remember him. But he looks happy, but I don't know, he was getting into trouble for something or other, and he was a rather miserable little fellow.
Yeah.
But he was all right there.
He looks all right there. He's got friends there.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
So what sort of, what flavoured jams were people making in the factory?
Strawberry was the most expensive. Then I knew all
the prices.
To make out this.
How much would a stoneware jar of jam cost?
An ordinary £2 jar.
Yeah.
Getting on for 2 shillings, I should think, about 1 and 9 or something like that. Of course, that's too old for money for you, even, isn't it? And then £1 would be about 11 pence to 1 and a penny or something. This is only out of the top of my head,
yeah,
I'm not sure. And then we had big £7 jars, I can't remember what they were. They must have been 3 or 4 shillings each, I should think. But not many people bought them. Cafes and restaurants would buy those.
Right. Are those the big stoneware?
Yeah, big stone. Yes, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I have one in the kitchen. I keep my cooking things. And my, you know.
Well, can you remember what the labels looked like in your time? Because we've got a couple at the museum. I should have brought them.
They changed. I can't remember what they used to be like.
Did they have a monk on them? Or?
I think they had. I think they were yellowish and parchmenty looking at first.
Yeah.
And then they
became red. Did they have blocks of red?
And then they got brighter and they thought they...
More modern,
yes. And they had fruit and flowers on one. I can't remember very well. But I do remember that the first one was out there. And they used to... they had pieces of parchment, and the women up the room, they used to have to put a little piece of paper in the top, you know, like we do if we make them, but you don't.
I know what you mean. I used to watch my mother doing it.
she'd put little bits in before, then she'd put the parchment on top. Two rounds of string, and then they had a special knot. And when I make jam, I don't make jam now, I'm on my own, but until a few years ago I used to. And I used to try and remember the Abbey knot, how they did it, you know, two round and then one in and pull, I think. but there were about three or four women up there all winter doing that. I remember that. And when we weren't busy in the office, we used to go up and talk to them. You see, standing with our back to the stove, there was one of those round stove, talking to the women.
Can you remember their names?
I was going to say that the head woman up there, the one in charge, was Mrs. Shimon. And Molly and I, my sister and I, we just loved her. She was so important to us. When we were little girls, or even when we were grown up, she was still important. But her son lives in the next road up here, and his wife. I don't see them very often, but we always have a chat.
So she always had time to chat with you?
She'd be doing her jobs and telling us the scandal of the village, I suppose. just talking.
She was from Ballasalla, was she?
She was from Ballasalla, yes, she lived in the middle of the village. I think as you turn up to go to Douglas, you go along the street from here and you turn up the Douglas Road, the straight road to Douglas. Hers was the third cottage on the left, I think. There's a post office there and then a couple of little houses. And she lived there. But she died when I was in Canada. I remember writing to her husband. But in the summer there was a whole row of them, you know, all doing. And then a part of that was taken over, what they called a driver's room. We used to give the drivers their tea when they came. They used to get a ticket at the gate, a little red ticket, and they would give that in to the woman who was in charge. I think the woman took turns because they used to give them tips, and you know, it would be one turn then the next and so on, and they used to give in this, and if they wanted anything special, they didn't even have to give their ticket into their tea, they just got their tea, but they had an armband and the girls all knew them anyway, and they'd come in, have their tea, but if they wanted ham or anything that wasn't served there for them, they would use their tickets, and they were worth a shilling each, I think. And if they wanted a plate of ham or a salad or anything, they had lettuce in. They only had lettuce and bread and jam and scones, I think. That was what we gave them. And then we gave them the other, but they could use those tickets on anything. They could buy jam or fruit to take home to their families.
How many drivers were there then?
Oh, there'd be about 20. Really? Quite 20, yes.
And they'd be delivering the jams all around the island?
No, they weren't delivering.
Oh, they were the Sharaban drivers. Yeah, yeah. Ah, right, sorry.
Yes, that's right. They bought them. You see, they could have said to the people, oh, don't bother going in there, there's nothing in there. You can go up to Silverdale if they want. And we had them all on
us. So you kept them sweet?
We kept them sweet, exactly.
Ah, brilliant. So you had quite a thing going. No. What about the photographs of... Because we've got quite a lot of photographs of the Sharaban drivers. So was there somebody specially employed to take pictures of people in their Sharaban?
At one time there was. There was a man who used to live in a little hut by the river there. And Mr. Hadley, his name was, from Ramsey. He was a very nice old man. I remember he gave us a camera, and my sister and I used to give us films and any photos when we were little girls, you know. But there was what we called an Osra. I don't know if that's how they pronounce it. Perhaps it's an ancient. I don't know. We called him the Osra anyway. And he directed as they came in down the little road by the river, he directed them to go so that they could find places for everywhere, you know. And it was quite a skill, really, you know, to get them all in and direct. And he was in charge of anything went wrong on the front of the hotel there. It was a big space. He looked after it. You know.
So is that where people would be dropped?
They'd be dropped there, and they'd either go in there or go in the hotel or anything. But I don't know that man's face at all. Mm. I don't think I would remember.
That one's probably just a little bit before your time. But
yes. I have a picture, though, in my album of my brother standing
there. There's three there. Let's see if I can recognise any of them. They're not brilliant photocopies. Yeah,
they're not quite as clear, but they're good. This is a long time ago. Look at the women with their hats on. and the card.
I know, it's a wonderful car, isn't it? This one, which I think is quite old again, but on the back of this photograph in the library, it says, Russian Abbey staff outing. Can you remember there being staff outing?
Oh, yes, do I ever. I can remember one of the last ones. I had a boyfriend, of course, I married him eventually, but he didn't want me to go on the staff outing. He wanted me to come out with him, because we only had Saturdays out. And so I told my parents that I was going out with him. They were very cross. And I was very unpopular for ages. I should have gone with the staff and picnic. But I went every year and I didn't want to go. I wanted to go out with my husband, naturally. Well, it wasn't my husband then. Right. It was just my boyfriend.
So what did they do on the staff outing?
Oh, they went to, I remember they went to Laxey one year and they went all round the island. And then to Laxey, they had the big hotel in Laxey. There's a big hotel there. There's a lot of hotels in Laxey, actually. But it was one big one on the left as you're going in. Anyhow, they had a big meal there. And sometimes to Ramsey, sometimes we had the meal in Ramsey.
And we'd
go all round the island and stop at different places.
How often would you have a staff outing?
Oh, only once a year.
Just once? Was it at the end of the season?
At the end of the season, yes.
To celebrate.
I can remember feeling awfully bad about this because Mother and Dad and my father were here. They thought I was letting down the side and not going.
But you had other fish to fry.
I had other fish to fry. Oh, yes, I knew about that. But they thought he should have understood. He shouldn't have tried to pull me, you see. But I went with him and I was forgiven, I think. But
eventually.
Eventually, but I remember feeling bad. Yes, I caught you there. That's not clear enough.
No, it's not clear to see the faces.
Yeah. And I think it's a bit, well, this one is certainly before my time. People have had that. So that could have been in my time, but women with furs around their necks in September. But I don't recollect anybody.
That's all right.
That's interesting.
They're not very clear.
You're an interesting person.
No, well, it's good we've got all these photographs to have a look at. Yeah. There's some of the peacocks.
Now, that area, we used to play that one time. It was made into a putting green, and they used to play. That was a beautiful white one. And this is the side of the crypt, and that's the entrance to the crypt.
Right.
Now, at that side, there was it was built up so we were able to climb up to that point where you could see there was grass and stuff there. And then we had a job to get up, but we used to get.
You used to struggle.
But we couldn't get down. And we used to go up with play with the Coven boys. This is when we were quite young. And my brother Billy. But Billy wouldn't help us down. We could stay up all night for all he cared. This is my brother. But these two boys, they were only little boys then, and we were only little girls. But they would always help us and put our hands on. There was a root of a tree. If you could reach it and get your hand on it, you were all right. And they used to help us. And we spent a lot of time up there. They didn't play with us up there much. They couldn't be bothered with us. But, you know, they'd help us up and help us down. And that's the Abbey, the side of the Abbey Hotel there. And we had a nursery once looking out from the back there. And we watched a lot of archaeology going on about 1926. They were digging there. And
you can remember seeing
the nursery window. Sounds silly to talk about a nursery, but that's what we see. We had two much younger brothers, little boys. We used to have to help to look after them. Then there was my sister and I, and my old brother. He never came in the nursery. Don't know where he went. But we had to do our homework there. We couldn't be down in the business, you see.
No,
and
no.
Mother and father had a sitting room where they would sit when they had the meals. And
what was your mother's name? I didn't ask you mother's name.
Had been Cutler. Lillian Cutler.
Lillian Cutler, and then she was Lillian.
She was very, Mother had brains. She uh, She could run the business, restaurant, and she could delegate jobs and everything. She was very good.
So it was a real family business.
Oh,
then.
It was, yeah. Now then, Bertie, my youngest brother, married one of the McAleer girls. Did you know?
Is that Robert McAleer?
Yes.
From Peel,
one,
something to do
that's
with right, him.
That's right. He's one of. Now, he is her nephew.
Right.
They had the hotel in Douglas. You won't remember that, I don't imagine. It was called the Dog's Home.
I've heard of the Dog's
Home. Very,
home.
Very popular.
Yes.
And there were a whole slew of girls, about five girls, all pretty girls, and they helped in the business. Oh, not all of them. One was in a jeweller's shop, I think, but we knew them. And anyway, Bertie got going after the second one or the third one, and they married eventually. And she came into the business. And she used to help Mother in the cafe, but she still lives at the right opposite the Abbey House, the other side of the river.
Oh, right.
There's a bungalow there that Bertie built when he retired. Right. I think he arranged to have the land sometime. I don't know. I wasn't here then, but this is what I think. And he built this bungalow.
So your brother Bertie carried on with the business.
He carried on
after your father finished.
Yes, he did.
And how long did your brother have it for?
I think he retired early in his late 50s, so he probably only had it on his own about 10 years. But he was what?
So would that take him up to the 60s, 1960s? Would it be?
He was about 55 or 56, I think, and he would be born in 1967.
About then.
It was
the
soon
end of the
after 60s. It was before I came. I found him there when I knew, of course, because we were corresponding. But they had left the Abbey House. Mother built two houses up on the bank behind the Abbey. She was some relative in London left her two houses. Well, this is family business. I shouldn't tell you this. But anyway, she built those two houses with this woman. I don't know if she was a relative of Mother's people, and she had two shops in London. I don't think it was a swanky part of London, but it was enough to build two houses up there. And Mother and Daddy, my father, lived in those two houses, in one of the houses, and they let the other one. And then eventually they stayed in the one they lived in right until they died, I suppose. And Molly, my sister, lived in the other one after she was married. She lived in Douglas, and they were always wanting her back.
Yeah.
And they had very good reason to want her back. I mean, anybody was sick, Molly was there, you see. And, of course, I wasn't there.
You were in Canada.
And then eventually I lived in the Monk's Bridge. You've heard of the Monk's Bridge?
Yeah.
Well, now, a little cottage just by the Monk's Bridge, the Abbey owned it, and it was burnt down. I think I mentioned
you
that.
You did.
Before.
You talked. That's where the orchestra all.
Oh, that's
to
where.
Stay.
Yes, and it was only a very meagre little place then, but they built it up very
they did
nice
it
and had it's lovely really inside, you know, and a nice garden. It worked hard in the garden.
So, did you meet your husband at Rushen Abbey? You said he used to play there, but did you meet him there? Is that where you first met him?
No, I always knew him. He lived at the end of the Castle Town Road, just as you turn down into Ballatower. There's a big house there, which is the Vets now. Mm-hmm. Would you
yes,
know that?
Yes, yeah, I do.
Well, now that was the Sycamores. And he and his family came in over here when he was about 14 or 15 or perhaps younger. And he was always in our house because he and Billy both went to King William's and they were friends. They went on their bikes. And Eric, my husband, was always in the house. And we always liked each other. I mean, I always fancied him. He used to bring me notes from other boys at college, actually. And I can remember thinking, well, I don't care about the other boys. I don't think I even answered their notes, but I used to like Eric.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got fed up with bringing notes eventually, and eventually we got going out together.
Lovely.
And got married.
Do you think a lot of people might have met their future husbands or wives down at Rushen Abbey on the dance floor, maybe?
Quite probably.
There were a few romances.
Well, Molly's husband, my sister, of course, he was the government secretary at one time, latterly, well, not a long time ago, actually. But he used to come and dance with us, one of the boys who used to come and dance. But he lived on a farm not far away, Ballahot Farm. And he used to come with other boys, and he had sisters, and they used to come and dance in the evening. That's how we knew him. And Molly married him before I married Eric, I think. Because in those days, people didn't have money, you know. I mean, you think we were in a big place like that, but we didn't. We never had much money to spend in that time. And Eric had the garage in Douglas. He worked in a garage in Douglas. I think his father came over from him and put his money in this garage. Finch Hill Garage, And Eric went and worked there. And, I mean, he couldn't have got married. We were both 30 when we were married. And we've been together and never got we were going to the pictures and going since we were about 16, I suppose. But we were 30 before the war started when we got married.
That sort of interrupted it, everything.
Well, it actually, Eric went to the war, started with the Manx Battery, and they were going abroad, going overseas. And he said, well, I think we'd better get married now. You know, whether we've got money or not, because I'd have to live with, because I was running the Abbey for years, really, because my father was sick and Bertie was away. And Howard, my other brother, he was in Douglas, he was a lawyer, and he didn't take any interest. No. They wouldn't have got on anyway, because they were very, very different. My sister and I were so busy looking after each other that
men are different, aren't they? Different creatures.
All different, yes. Quite different.
They like to be in control.
One was one way and the other was the other way. Yeah. But they both did all right in their own.
So during the war, the site stayed open. It remained open, did it?
Well, it was busy with jam. All the staff were there. The jam part and the gardens were running, but there weren't visitors.
No, we didn't really have visitors.
No visitors came there.
Right. So it
wasn't really open for visitors. It was open for jam making and looking after the gardens.
Right. Right.
And
it was really run by the women in the family.
Well, mother was looking after my father, and he was. As soon as the boys had gone away, he got sick and he had to go to hospital. And he had to go in over to England for an operation. I remember mother went with him, and there was only me to look after it and, you know, arrange things. And I'd been in the office before, so it was no great difficulty. We got two more young girls to do, you know, the smaller office jobs, and eventually we were all doing the same, you see. But I had to look after it, make sure everything was all right and order stuff and see that the jam went out. It was quite hard, actually, between you and me.
But I can imagine. Sounds difficult.
Well, I'd been on the spot, of course. I'd been in the office since I was about 18 or 19, helping the man, but not taking responsibility, you see.
Yeah, it's different, isn't
it? But it was neither the man, he was sick too, he was an old man by then. And he lived in Douglas, and he was always not coming to work because he couldn't, you know, he was sick. And the father was in hospital and in the house sick. That was for the first year or two. It was better afterwards. And, of course, it wasn't so busy. But at first, all those internees, they all came at first. And every house in Douglas, all the places, were all filled up. But as the war went on, they were let out, as it were.
Gradually, as people, they became less fearful.
They were being judged or
their cases were all looked at.
Their cases were looked into, and if they were all right, they were let go. And so in the end, we hadn't so many, but it was terrible at first.
Ages ago I said, what other flavoured jams were you making? So you said there were strawberry.
What else? Blackcurrant.
Where did you get the fruit for the blackcurrants from? Was that
They grow in one of those breaks in the garden, right. Around the edges, around the walls, those blackcurrant trees, and redcurrant trees.
Right.
Redcurrants and raspberries, there was a break of raspberries somewhere.
Yeah.
A break, that's a Manx word, because it means an area.
A patch,
that's the word.
Did you have blackberry? Did you do blackberry jam?
Oh, yes, we did that. But people used to bring the blackberries. I suppose we must have had notices out, or people knew about it. And the boys and girls and young women and people who wanted to earn a bit, they gave them so much a pound. And they'd bring in big baskets and we'd weigh them. And I have an idea it was around fourpence a pound or something, but that's only a vague idea, because it was wartime. But of course I was working in the office, and I used to have to pay them. but it's a long time ago.
Yeah, I've heard that though. Somebody said yes. to me that they used to pick the blackberries.
That's where we got the blackberries. And we used to get lots. I mean, some people made it their business. A lot of people probably were out of work, and wives with husbands away growing kids.
It was a form of income for them.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was. Exactly.
That's good. The scones and things like that you had in the tea rooms.
We had a bakehouse there and a confectioner. I hadn't mentioned her.
Oh, right.
About her. That was a joined to the Abbey House.
Where was it upstairs?
You went upstairs, yes.
Let's have a look. It might be. Oh, there we go. Let's have a look at that one here. Was it up here?
Yes. Wait a minute. Where's the Abbey
House? That's Abbey House. Yeah,
that's it. That's the bakehouse, I think.
Right.
Oh, it was right there. Anyway, you could get up from the house, or you could go out of the back door and go up a big row of steps to get to it. And it was a huge room with a big old-fashioned stove at the end. But that stove worked because that was what she used. And she worked very hard.
What was her name? Can you remember her name?
She was Miss Bell Hall. No, Clubbin. I remember her at school. She was named Hall at the little school when we first started school. I remember Bell Hall. But she married a man from Port St Mary. She was Mrs Crebbin. And she used to come in the morning and get the stove lighted and get started. And she'd make piles of these. Sometimes she'd have to make two or three lots in a day. And she'd make fruit cakes and ordinary cakes, fancy cakes. She had, I think, an assistant, a young girl. She needs an assistant, I think, for all she used to do. Latterly, they didn't make very much. It became a bit different, you know. But
all these cakes were sold in the tea rooms?
They were all sold. Oh, yes, that's right. We didn't sell them, I think.
No, just for the tea.
We could use all we could get, apparently, from what I remember. I remember Mrs. Crabmore. I mean, it was our birthday at the end of the summer, and she used to make us, my sister and I, she used to make us a birthday cake, I remember that.
Oh, lovely. So she cooked every single day?
She came, she didn't come on Sundays, I don't think. She may have had Saturday afternoon off. Those who could be spared were off on Saturday afternoon, because it was very quiet on Saturday. People were going and coming.
It's the changeover.
The changeover, yes, right. That's right, and we closed on Saturday night.
Right. So the locals, you said that the locals, they would mainly come in the evening for the dancing.
For the dancing, that was it, yes. Right. We had a lot of Castletown girls. We used to call them the locals. We knew. I see them occasionally. I think they're nearly all dead now. The last one I asked about was... I met a friend who used to come with her in Castletown one day, and I said, "How's Ruby?" "Oh, Ruby's dead." Yeah. Because they were a good deal older than us, so she had a perfect right to be dead. But so,
what was the average age, would you say, of the locals that would be coming?
They would be girls in their teens and 20s.
Late teens, yes. Early 20s.
Yes,
and would they get all dressed up?
Well, I can remember where there were about five of them who used to come. Two sisters and another girl. And they used to wear kilts, Scotch kilts, so the green thing, and blouses or jumpers. And they were all dressed alike, and they looked very nice, these girls. And they wore those nearly all the summer. I suppose that was their summer.
That was their going out.
They were going out. And they looked awfully nice, and they were very good dancers, of course. And they were an asset to the place, because the boys would come from Cunningham's camp and all these places where we were all boys, and they used to be at, as soon as they saw any girls that could dance, were dancing together, they were after them.
So if you were a good dancer, that was a bonus, was it?
Oh, yes. Well, I didn't dance in the busy time. I wasn't allowed to. I had to stay at my job.
Yeah.
But in the evenings, we danced.
You said there were dance competitions as well.
Yes,
what were
we
they
used
about?
To have dancing competitions. We used to have the man from the office, Mr. Farger. He was a great boy. He was a
Mr.
T.P. Farger, he was.
Farger, right.
Farger,
yeah.
He called it Farger.
He was a posh.
He was posh. He was nice. We liked him so much. And we worked with him always, you know, and we liked him. He was nice. He taught us music at first. He used to come into the hotel and... two or three nights a week for Molly and Auntie taught us.
Was this the piano you were supposed to be learning?
Yeah. But they used to dance. It was announced by one of the orchestra leader, probably, and all the people who thought they could dance were on the thing. and they danced around for so long. And they had one or two people who could dance, people we knew, who would pick them. They'd pick them and mark them and put a ticket on their back. And there were six, I think, picked. Or maybe more, it might have been 10. Anyway, then they stopped. All the others had to go off the floor, and these 6 or 10, whatever they were. And then they were picked out to about 3. And of course, everybody loved this. It sounded awfully boring, really. But
no, it's a bit like come dancing,
then, then the
isn't
three
it?
Would be picked, and they would get the first. They clapped, people clapped. And the loudest,
loudest
clap was the first. Of course, whatever different position you were, it sounded different. But anyway, this is how it was. And then the second, next, then they would pick for the second, and their clapping would be a bit late. And then the third. And they used to give me big boxes of chocolates, the girls, and cigarettes. I don't know how much, I suppose, 20, no, not 20, 50 or 100, I don't know. Quite a big packet they used to get. And they were very happy, everybody there. And we charged sixpence that night. And the local girls, I think at one point they were supposed to pay on those nights, but I don't think... I think it was decided that they didn't have to.
Right, the local girls got in
they
free.
They got in. Oh, no, they bought a ticket at the beginning for about 7 or 6 or something.
Goes to sleep, doesn't it, after a while. So the, how often would the dance competitions be held?
It used to be Tuesday and Thursday.
So every week in
every
the season?
Every week. Perhaps at the very beginning when there weren't many, and perhaps at the very end might not have been, but I think it was. Right. And I think at the busy times we used to have it more than twice a week sometimes. There were notices on the charabanc stands in Douglas and everywhere. They all knew, and the charabanc drivers knew, and they would...
They'd bring everyone down.
Yes, they'd say, come to Rushing Abbey, there's great dues down there. You know?
Yes. And was there alcohol there at the
no,
evening?
No, not in the Abbey.
Nothing at all?
Wasn't sold in the Abbey. Oh, drinks and coffee. But no alcohol.
No alcohol.
If they wanted alcohol, they went in the pub, you know, in the hotel.
Right.
But there was none sold in the Abbey. Right. And I don't remember any drunk people coming in or anything, you know. People came to dance and to look at the gardens and things like that, it seemed to me. But of course, it was a long time ago. I don't remember everything. But
no, but that it was
that was
what
the
people
the attitude
to do.
Of people.
Yeah.
Yes, they were a nice crowd of people. People behaved. There was never any trouble at all.
There was never any trouble between, say, the local boys and
boys. Well, the local boys were working in the daytime. They only came at night.
Yeah.
But then there were lots of visitors at night too.
No competition for girls.
People didn't fight in those days, you know. No. They were different. I mean, now people fight at the touch of an arm almost, don't they?
Yes. Yeah.
But then people behaved themselves. They had to. They've been brought up to behave themselves, I think. Or else, I suppose, there was always the orchestra leader, and there'd be the man from the office, and my father or Bertie or somebody would... might speak to them if they didn't behave, but I don't remember anything that was ever happening.
Yeah.
They weren't there very long, you know. The visitors, they'd be half an hour here and half an hour there.
Right.
They'd give them a bit longer at Rushing Abbey. I think they got 3/4 of an hour, which isn't very much, really. You know, they'd have a few dances and some would have tea. Everything was done in that rush, almost everything. And in the evening, too, I think they have more time in the evening, it's sure, because they just come out to Rushing Abbey in the evening.
That was a special trip,
Yes, that's right. But in the daytime, they've been to Peel and Ramsey and all over the place.
Did they come on the train as well?
They did come, oh yes, the village, when the trains came in, you couldn't hardly walk in the village, so I understand I was never in it. I was always busy at home. But I've heard people say that you, when the trains came in from Douglas, your job to walk down the village was packed.
Somebody was telling me, I'm trying to remember the story.
We went to school on the train.
Did you? Yeah. Where did you go to school?
We went to Castletown, to Button School. It wasn't a Button School
then,
it was called a Castletown High School, I think. But we went from during the end of the war, when we were about 8 or 7 or 8 until we were 17. So it changed in the time. But we always went on the train. We used to have a contract on the train.
Everybody used to go on the trains, didn't they?
Yes, the Douglas girls used to go. The Douglas girls all came first class, but we didn't. I suppose I never thought about a first class. We just had ordinary tickets.
Mm.
But the Douglas girls, I can remember the cowing, you won't remember any of them, but there was a carriage full of Douglas girls. They were the bigger girls. And then there was the college boys and one of the college mistresses. They went to their class with us. And we used to get in with them. And we had a very old time, really.
I bet, yeah. Great way to travel.
When we got out of the train at Castletown, we used to walk onto the main road there, and the boys walked on the left footpath, the girls walked on the right footpath, and when they got along a bit, you turned right to the Buchan School and you turned left to go up to college, and no one was to cross the road. I mean, no one ever did, they daren't. Somebody else would have been in dire trouble.
Yes, brilliant. Oh, I don't think I've got any more questions, actually. You've talked a lot.
I've got a book here, but I don't want to give it to you.
I've got one of those.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I've got one of those.
Because I've been right through it and I've marked it
with all your the things.
But you
let's have a look and see if there's anything in here. Can you remember when the archaeological excavations were going on? Can you remember?
In about 1926.
Was that Mr. Cubbon who organised that?
Yes, that's right. Well, that was what I was saying from the nursery at the back we used to have when we were very little. I can remember watching them digging, and they found some special skeleton out there. Mm. And I can remember watching that.
Mm.
What have I put up there?
You've put the children's play area by the stone wall.
That was the bowling green we were talking about. Yeah, I just marked what I thought would be, and I was going to say that I wasn't too mean to give it to you, but
we've got one.
I'm so glad, because I tried to ring up this morning to the place, it says at the back where they were made, here somewhere. Oh. But I couldn't, they know what they weren't in the book. And I was going to say to you, if you hadn't got one, that you might be able to call there. But
we found, when we took the site over a couple of years ago, there were boxes of them just left there.
Really?
But they were all a bit mouldy.
A shame. And were there these blue ones?
They were these blue ones.
Because they used to have little green ones at one
time. I've got, actually, in my box here.
A little green one.
I've got some from the library at the museum that were spares. That they gave me.
I see one. Yes, I see them.
They
used to sell those at the gate of threepence, I think.
So there was all the different sorts.
Yes, that's right. I have one of those somewhere, but I couldn't find it. But I was so happy to find that one, a blue one. Yes, here you are.
There's some nice pictures.
There's a hotel.
That's a lovely building.
That was our bedroom, I told you before, and that was our nursery. That was a bar end. We weren't allowed to go in there.
No.
Because we were only kids, you see, and there were five of us, and I suppose we'd been scrambling around there. There was a bit of chaos.
Have you ever heard any rumours about Russian Abbey being haunted?
Well, we used to get told that, and at school, I can remember one of the mistresses, she was very keen on archaeology and that sort of thing. And she was saying, I'm sure there must be a ghost. Have you ever heard a ghost in your house? Well, we hadn't, really. But we
you never saw anything or heard anything?
No, except rats. We used to hear rats scratching in the walls in the night. It was terrible, that. But, you see, we lived near the river.
And yes.
I remember walking up just outside the house one day and two rats came right shot past us, screeching. They were fighting, I suppose. And I had my little brother by the hand. And he went stiff with fright, He just stiffened up and went a sort of bluey colour. And I was back in the house with him. I knew there were only rats. I wasn't frightened. No, but we were sort of used to seeing rats about the river. And you're not supposed to say that word.
I know.
Long tail. Or else. Long tails, I think.
Yes.
There's another name too. I can't think what that is. But anyway, long tails will do. But I can remember that. The scratching at night. But they didn't get into our bedrooms. We weren't frightened, but we didn't like them.
Yeah, they're not very nice animals, are they? But you never saw anything else? You never saw any ghosts?
I never saw anything like a ghost, no. And we never saw or knew of anything peculiar happen. Of course, this was a busy place. It was our family alone, you see, there were seven, and it was always...
There was always some bustle.
People doing, working about. And the staff used to sleep right at the top of the house in attics. I don't think girls would have done that now. See, up here there used to be... There were the four stairs up to these bedrooms, mm-hmm. then there were two lots of stairs, just little stairs, and these were about eight little rooms there.
So is that who would stay up there?
The staff, you know, staff the barmaids and the people who were working in the, serving the teas, and then there were the ostler, he was there with his wife in one of these rooms.
Gosh.
And I even when I was little, you know, I used to think, oh, it was terrible up there. And such a long way, she had four flights to get to the main part where we all, where the family slept, and then two more flights. And they were busy working people. I think it was awfully hard on them, but people's lives must
they
have been
had somewhere,
hard.
At least they had a roof over their
they
heads.
They had a roof over their heads, and they were they had a job and
regular income.
Getting tips and things, probably, and that's what they were there. Mm. People, we had Manx girls, we could get them, but we had girls from England too. I think we must have. Must have advertised, I don't remember that, but I remember girls.
Perhaps there was a trade magazine or something where
something,
you could advertise
for
help.
But as I say, we left there when we were 17, and it was nothing to do with the fact that we were 17. It just happened that that was when this came up, you see. And we went into the house and into the business with our parents. And then when Bertie was old enough, he came in the office, and he, that's the youngest brother, and he became... eventually the assistant manager and eventually the managing director. But my other brothers, one was an electrical engineer in Douglas, and then the Howard, who was blinded during the war, he was a lawyer in Douglas, and he didn't start being a lawyer till after he was blinded. He was he was in doing accountancy in an accountancy office, but he had to do something, that's what he did. Anyway, we didn't come talk about him. We've got plenty to talk about. Will you excuse me a minute? I need to go somewhere.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll just,
which is silly. I'd been talking so much we haven't had that on much, have we?
Oh, we have, yes. Have it's been running.
Oh, it's been running.
Been running quietly in the background.
it's
a lot. No, you don't. You've written here that your father was digging a pit.
Oh, yes, interesting, yes. Now, when we, in 1922... My father got a car, two-seater, there were seven of us, but it was two-seater. And out the back of the hotel, and there was a yard there, and there were lots of little buildings, like sheds, barns and things there. So he chose one was to be the car, the garage, and he had to have a pit underneath so that he could work on his car. People didn't go to the garage.
No, did it all themselves.
They did it, worked himself. And so he started to dig there to make a pit, he called it, so that he could work if there was anything wrong with the car. And he began digging up bones. And he stopped. You know, he couldn't dig anymore. But anyway, I don't suppose he'd ever used that pit. I don't know. But he didn't get it anyway. He stopped because
it was absolutely full of bones, part of the
graveyard.
Yes, because it's that area is very close to the edge. It's just off the map here, but that's the church tower.
Oh,
and
yes.
So the buildings you were talking about will probably be around
that's
here.
That's right, and that's
so,
where he was digging. Yes, I put that in. I thought it might be interesting.
Yes, that is, because I mean we've dug a
but
little
you've been
bit.
Digging around there.
They have been digging around here. It's all. I mean, it's all changed quite a lot. You'll
yes,
notice quite
I'm
a difference.
Forward to getting down into
but
it.
This was. They did bury a lot of people
well, see, that
around.
Would
that's
that
what
right
it would
there,
have been.
Yes.
Yeah. So
and
it's
he,
all
he was
all
very
over that
shocked.
Area.
You know,
I'm sure.
I mean, he was digging up bones, but he stopped when he realised he dug up a few.
Yeah.
I suppose. I remember him coming in and saying to Mother, "You know, it was terrible out there. He couldn't dig there anymore." So I suppose we had no pit, but I don't expect he would have used it. Yeah. I can remember my husband when we built a garage in Canada. He built his own house there. He wanted a pit. He dug himself a pit, but he was mechanically minded. But I don't remember him ever going down into it.
It's one of those men things,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yes, it was a lovely garage. I remember the next house to ours was the the clergyman's house party. He said, my goodness, there are people around here who would love a place I had to work in. Made Eric feel bad, actually. You know? But anyway, I'm a...
It's all right. What was in this building here? This was, so you've got the what you call the crypt here,
yes.
And then there's another old stone building just opposite, next to the pigeon tower. What was inside there?
That was the place where they, what do they call it now, where they people stayed.
The guest house.
So yes.
What was in there in your time?
Well, there was hardly any of that left, but there was part of it because there used to be a notice on the trees, you know, where, and it was called the guest house, I think.
Mm. So there wasn't really anything inside
it? There was nothing inside.
There wasn't an exhibition or anything like that? It was just the building?
It was just an empty building.
So you
we used to play around in those buildings, you know.
Right.
I don't remember. Doing anything, you know, being a bit scared going into them and going, I remember that. But of course, the crypt, it was just open at both ends and you walked through a path to the bowling green that was just open.
But that was a
most of the others were just buildings on ruins of buildings, actually.
Yes, yes. Right, well, I'm going to turn the machine off now.